Okay, so I just kind of want to give everybody a heads up. The audio on my end is really messed up for this episode. When I was bringing in the multi-tracking, it kind of turned my bitrate all the way down, so I just sound really... I sound like I'm basically talking through a styrofoam cup, and it does not sound good. I just kind of want to be honest and give you guys a heads up. It's been fixed already, so the episode we recorded the night after sounds good, but it's really just this episode. So I just wanted to kind of give you guys a heads up. Thanks, and hopefully you enjoy the episode.
Welcome back, everyone, to the latest episode of the Here's Johnny podcast. I am your host, Larry.
And I am your other host, Justin. I just want to start off by saying I kind of figured out how to use my mixer a little bit, so I'm a little impressed with myself.
And we are happy for you. Based on the downloads last week, I don't think we lost too many after my rant, so that's good.
Yeah, that is very good. I will say, like, man... Dino Crisis is kind of doing like gangbusters. Like it's doing really good.
Yeah, it's doing
good.
Some work. It is definitely doing some work. As you can tell by the title of this episode, we are reviewing the film The Host. It was a patron selection from Matt. If you listened to last week's episode, not only did he announce the new website, but he also talked about why he chose this film for Kaiju. But I think that's all the housekeeping. Make sure you check out the new website. Super
absolutely.
Awesome. Some good blog posts. Matt has a review of Monstrum up there. I know Justin's working on a written review for
Scott Pilgrim versus
the World.
Yes.
I'm thinking about some stuff to do. I'm kind of debating whether I want to do something from Sundance, but they're charging tickets per screening, so I'm trying to figure out how to...
Ooh.
Yeah, so I got in, but it's cost... You still have to pay for the tickets.
How much is it, the tickets? If you don't mind me asking.
They float somewhere between like $10 to $20.
Okay.
And I just haven't seen a trailer yet for something that screams "Watch me," and I haven't seen any like. I really don't like follow the hype trains either.
Yeah, that's fair. Been burned too many times.
Justin, what's been new with you, buddy?
So I've kind of put a pause on playing Dark Souls just for a little bit.
We'll talk about that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I do plan on picking it up next week. Weekend. I've been playing, obviously, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which I do just want to kind of give, like, a quick minute on.
All right, your minute has started.
Okay. Oh, shit. So I was kind of surprised because I didn't realize that this game is only $15. It's obviously just, like, it's just a re-release. That's all it is. They added online co-op, but it's just a fucking re-release, and it's only $15. That is amazing. I would really, honestly, if this was from EA or anybody else, I would expect them to charge, $30, not that much more, but still, like, double the price, basically.
Yeah.
It's a fun, I'm not really good at these kinds of games, but it's like a side-scrolling brawler.
I can feel not being good at games.
We'll talk about that. but yeah, no, it is a lot of fun, and it's made me want to go read the graphic novels and watch the movie again, which is fantastic.
Movie's so good.
Yeah, oh, I agree. But mostly, I feel like it's a perfect game to play with friends online. I don't know, because... Yeah, but it reminds me a lot of, like, Castle Crashers and River City Ransom, if you've ever played those. If not, just go check out a trailer. It's a lot of fun. Other than that, I'm continuing my train of Persona 5 Royal to beat that. I think I'm about 53% in the trophies. I have a list of games I want to platinum, the next one being Nier Automata, and I think that's what I'm going to do on stream. Just because for Final Fantasy X, I don't think I actually talked about it on the show, but the Switch port ran very poorly in handheld to the point where I wasn't having fun, and I genuinely do like the game.
Which is crazy, because it's a fun game.
Well,
I mean,
exactly.
I know it's not your top, but it's still like a top game for you.
But
so
that's
you know
the thing.
That that's not what the game is.
Exactly, and I didn't want it to color my experience. So yeah. I switched over to the Vita version. I mean, the Vita is, God, like, I don't even remember what year it came out, but it's
it
a
came
lot
out when I was still in college, in like 2012, 2013, something like that.
And it runs the Final Fantasy remake. I mean, it's the same version. It runs them, like, I mean, it's buttery smooth, just as much, like, and more so.
The Switch
so.
Has some problems. I know some of the Nintendo stands won't, like, I can't even play my Switch anymore because of the drift. Like, I have to buy new Joy-Cons.
Oh, really? I
the
did
only
have
games
to...
I can play right now pretty much are if I use my Pro Controller or if we do Ring Fit, because the Ring Fit's based on motion, not the Joy-Cons.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
man, you're lucky.
Sticks, so.
The... I did have to replace my Joy-Cons as well, but my drift was bad, and not only that, but, like, the motion sensor was off, so...
See, that would be... Yeah, because I said if that was the case, we couldn't even play Ring Fit anymore, but luckily that's not the case. It's just the analogs.
Yeah, I mean, luckily, I did pick up the... I picked up a set of Joy-Cons on sale, like, a couple months ago. I don't know. Yeah, but, yeah, anyways, so the Switch version ran like crap, so I picked it up, started playing it on Vita. But obviously, if it's on Vita, I don't really have a way to stream it because that doesn't include the PS4 version. It includes the PS3 version, but I don't have a PS3.
Crazy person.
I did, but I got rid of it when I got a PS4, just like how I don't have a PS4
I have
anymore.
A sad PS3. Before I got my PlayStation Classic, that was how I played all my back games.
Oh, man. I don't, like I said, I don't even have a PS4 anymore. I got rid of it. Well, I didn't get rid of it. I gave it to a friend.
I'm a collector. I can never get rid of things.
Unfortunately, you're in the right because when all the services go down, I won't have any video games left. but other than that, I watched The Host, obviously, and man, I feel like I've done more, but I really just don't think I have. I've been working on our special episode that we're recording tomorrow that's coming out next week.
Next week.
Yeah. And, oh, I do want to say one thing just before I... Actually, you know what? No. Larry, what have you been up to? I'll get into this in the closing.
So let's start with the more boring stuff first. Watch The Host. Been watching a lot of Guy's Grocery Games. A lot of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I watched some Ghost Adventure stuff. I got Discovery Plus, if you can't tell the theme here.
Oh, I can tell.
watched some Bobby and Giada Take Italy. Just like very calm, like background almost television, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
Video game wise, I got my first title in Destiny.
Oh, nice.
Last Friday night, I was during the raid. I did the last challenge, and it was the first time in any kind of game like that I did it enough to get the title. So I'm kind of slow in my roll a lot with that game. I'm still doing a little bit of like popping in once a week to work on another title for the Beyond Light expansion.
Okay, yeah.
But beyond that, just really slowing down on that. I am continuing my Pokemon Silver Nuzlocke.
And how is that going?
That's like Pokemon Gold Silver is like top three games for me of all time.
Okay,
it's like
legit.
Resident Evil 4, Pokemon Gold Silver, Final Fantasy X. Like for me are just...
Ooh, speaking of
depending
Resident
on
Evil.
My,
oh.
Huh?
Okay. I said, ooh, speaking of Resident Evil...
Yes, I know. We should probably talk about that, I think, in a few moments.
Yeah.
But Dark Souls.
here we go.
So last Wednesday, I cleared Sens.
Yes. Was it last Wednesday? Was it? Man, was it?
I think okay. So. It was a thing because the way I play video games, I get bullheaded. I do things my own way. I wasn't killing anything. I took off all my armor. I was just going to be as fast and as nimble as possible and get to the top. Well, I did. And then Saturday was my next turn to stream.
Yep.
And I was fighting the Iron Golem and I was doing okay. But like I would get to half and it's like every single time I got him to half, he would just yeet me off the side of the map.
Yeah. Okay.
So I got frustrated. And I summoned.
Yeah, which, whatever.
And took him out. And then I went to this place called Anorlando.
Anorlando, but yes.
What is it?
Anorlando. Anorlando. Anorlando.
Anorlando.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's very pretty.
It's such a stark difference from the rest of the game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's almost like a Greek world. But I was only level 38.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I
okay.
died. Because like I just ran from enemies. Unless it was a boss, I was not fighting it.
Yeah. Okay.
Because if you died, you lost your soul. So I figured, fuck it. Why would I waste my time? Frustration started to come out again. Okay. So I got there.
Yeah.
And there's another platforming section with even more bullshit in this platforming section. Like, far less forgiving than the previous platforming section.
I will give you forgiving. I won't give you bullshit, but I'll give you forgiving.
Okay. And then for some reason, my camera, I got the new 4K camera. I didn't change any settings, but, like, I noticed it, and you finally brought it up. Like, my screen was really choppy. I thought it was my computer. I was deleting programs while I was, like, streaming and stuff and going through that BS. And then I plugged in my other camera. And then the whole stream just collapsed in around me. Got it back on. Realized I was way underleveled for where I was at. And Best Finland Ball in the chat is like, well, why don't you go fight Stray Demon? Go back to where you started the game. It's easier. Like, you'll get some souls from it.
I'm going to stop you right there because that's exactly what he did to me.
And I got there. And Floor gave that on me, which I wasn't prepared for.
Yep, same.
And I lost half my health immediately. I hadn't even gone to the fire yet. And the last place I saved was way, way far back. And then the thing did that AoE attack, and then that was it. And I was like, I'm done. I'm done streaming. And I sat back, and then I talked to you, and you sent me a really good video about like a loop you can do once you get the crest of Astorias through that woods area, killing the ghosts, you can get some souls. So I've been just grinding off stream to that.
Mm-hmm.
My plan... Because, again, we're recording a special tomorrow. My wife's birthday is Saturday. My plan is Sunday afternoon to go back on. I've been grinding. I've been giving a lot of shit for my friends at work who like to watch me suffer, which, again, they're all sick in the head. They're sick individuals. But I've been putting in the work. Justin has helped me figure out some strategies. And we're going to try this again.
So I do want to break in there for a second because I know they're giving you shit because they're giving me shit because I summoned like during like two bosses or something like that. I just think the whole kind of feeling around like the whole get good thing around Dark Souls is bullshit. I think that if
for me it's just so weird because I was having a great time.
Yeah.
And I was dying up front at first too, but something. After Sense, it wasn't even Sense. Like when I got to the top of Sense, I felt like relieved. It was somewhere between the Iron Golem and like getting to that spinning platform thing.
Yeah.
Something in that section just like I was just done. Like I was texting you. Like I have played video games once since then. I played Dead by Daylight with Whitney and Marcus and Shannon and Matt.
Yeah.
That's like the only time I've outside of the grinding in Dark Souls.
Yep.
But again, with that, it's just literally just a loop, and I'm watching it on my laptop. Like I, dude, I sit here staring at all the other games I bought, thinking I was gonna run through the whole franchise. Like man, like I think it's coupled with like work being more busy and like this experiment I'm working on is pretty difficult. Like it's like I'm trying to knock in a gene and. I get so close to being there and I get to the final like stage, like verify the genetic change and it's just not there. And it's like, ah, but like, I find myself on edge. I think part of it was because this game was like looming in my head.
I will tell you this right now. It is part of the reason why because while we were playing this, when we started this, I was still playing Demon's Souls. I had to say to myself, like, I have to put Demon Souls down because I need a game that I can, relax in basically. Because when Pokemon, you play Dark Souls, you cannot relax.
Pokemon, man. That's why I started. That's why I started the Nuzlocke back up.
Yeah.
So we have 2 weeks. The review. We will be reviewing this on I think the 28th of January. Let me look at the calendar.
Is that like when we're recording it?
Yep.
Okay.
Literally 2 weeks from tonight, the 28th, maybe the 29th. We need it.
Yeah. I mean, I am at. I don't want to say his name, but I am, or that's kind of, unless you're following the story, that's not really a spoiler. I am at the last guy. It's weird because usually, like I've tried to play the Souls games before, but sometimes, for some reason this time, I hit my stride
I know, and like I'm really proud of you, and that's why I actually kind of like sniped at you on stream and said, "Stop, douche!" Like, not only am I stressed about this, now you're putting like extra pressure on me. It's like, stop, dick, stop! Like, I'm not even near where you're at. Stop. Man,
I
but you listened. You did stop.
Well, it's because I finished the Tomb of Giants, which, oh boy,
which I've heard sucks.
Oh boy. I got to the last area, and I was like, oh, okay. You know, I put the stuff in the thing. I'm trying to be as spoiler-free for you as possible.
Appreciate it. I have no idea what I'm getting into. All I know is that ONS is next, and that's the one that broke you last time.
Oh, yeah. That's the one that I said, you know what, I'm summoning. I don't even want to deal with this. I'm summoning. But I put the thing in the thing underneath, if you all know what I mean. And then a lovely Doug in the chat was like, oh, you should, I mean, you're right there. And then they all started piling on, and they were like, you know what? You should just do it. And I was like, oh, but no, I have to do this because I have to stop here because we've done this before where we beat a game or something too quick, and then we're not, you know, it takes us a while to get to the review, and then it suffers. And then they just were like, oh, well, okay, we'll just unsubscribe. We'll go watch somebody else. And I was like, oh, fuck, okay. So I played dirty. I got to the last boss. And I purposely died and was like, Matt, oh, guys, me. I tried.
Yeah, so Matt kind of told me that. But yeah, and the crazy thing, too, I'm sitting on the schedule, like, as soon as we beat that, we have to beat Rampage World Tour, which won't be that bad.
No, that'll be a quick.
But it's still a game, another game right afterward we have to beat. And then we only have 2 weeks after that. We got to beat Silent Hill Origins.
Oh, fuck. That might, well, I think the good thing about the rest of the games, except for the one we added that, I mean, I'll just say it now, Earth Defense Force 5, we have added.
Oh, we actually need to add that to the schedule. They're talking about Dino Crisis 2.
Oh, that as well. I know EDF 5, I think, is a little longer. I think it's about 20. But the main one I'm concerned about now, this season, is Death Stranding. Because it's like 40
hours long. I
still
haven't even bought that game yet.
Oh, man, you missed the sale, damn it.
You said you were going to send me your copy.
Oh, yeah. I have to find it again. yeah, okay.
But yes, that's what I'm working on. Yeah. I'm almost done with the seventh book of Harry Potter audiobook. I'm working my way through Christopher Pliny's newest book, like the actual book. And I'm just, I'm dieting, and I'm working out 3 days a week.
That's good.
I have lost, to date, I have lost 10 pounds since the 1st
awesome.
Of January.
That's awesome. Good for you.
Thank you. The food journal, like actually writing everything down, like keeping track of everything has helped a whole lot. Like it's a game changer. But yeah, Dark Souls, like that's going to be a review. It's going to be nice since we're double recording this week that next week we'll have the entire week, you know, to do it. And like, I can stream a little bit more in the afternoon, so you can still stream at night if you wanted to and stuff, but
I'll probably give you the week, because, I mean, like I said, like it, for me, it's maybe I'll take a night or two to give you a little bit of a break.
Well, the thing is, next Saturday, we're going to go visit Devin's mom.
Okay.
Because she wants to cook us dinner for Devin's birthday and my birthday.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So Saturday's out for me, which is a huge chunk, but again, because of the grinding and because of your help, and like I've gotten some weapons, I got the mace almost to +5. I need to go get the large titanite shards. I'm working on Zweihander, getting that to +10 as well, and boosting my strength a little bit.
Get it. Make the Zweihander or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think I'll make the Zweihander a divine.
Yeah, because there's this whole thing where once you make something divine, you lose some of its base damage because some of that base damage goes over to divine damage. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
Instead of being bullheaded and just saying, I'm doing this my way, I have started listening to you. And I've been practicing my parrying because apparently that makes the final boss a little bit easier. So I don't know.
It'll also make Anor Lando like, to me,
I'm already telling you, dude, pretty much where I'm at mentally is I'm giving each boss 5 tries. If I can't get it, I'm summoning.
Oh, absolutely.
The game has to get beaten.
No, well, exactly. And that's the thing, like, kind of
I am a reviewer. I am mainly a film guy. And I like playing video games for fun. In the moment things stop being fun, I usually check out. And now I know I have to get this beat, because if I didn't let Vampire Hunter D beat me, you can bet your ass that Dark Souls is not going to beat me.
Yeah, so. It's a challenge, and that's why I think it's important that we got to overcome that challenge.
And then, yes, so before we get into the review and everything, I do want to take a quick minute to discuss something that's happening next Thursday. Justin brought it to my attention over on Twitter because I was busy at work today, but apparently Resident Evil is doing a showcase.
Yes, for at 5
I have not looked into it at all. Do you want to mention what you think it's going to be about? Because I'm not going to watch it, because I'm always deeply terrified that like something like that is going to like spoil it. Like I always take it back to one of the first things that we reviewed in this podcast. We had a trailer for a lot of hype for was Halloween 2018, and that one trailer had the sequence where Michael was walking through the houses. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And the trailer was amazing, and it was still good in the movie. But like, imagine if you had seen that for the first time in the movie. Like, that is something we haven't seen since the original Halloween, you know, in that opening sequence. So ever since then, especially for this podcast, I do everything in my power to just not look at anything. So what should we be looking forward to in this?
The only information we have is, I'm just going to read the tweet verbatim. It says, don't miss the RE showcase on January 21st at 2 p.m. Pacific. Join Resident Evil producers and our host, Brittany Brombacher. I'm sorry, I'm horrible at that. It's one of the ladies over at What's Good Games, on a guided tour of Resident Evil Village, including a new trailer, first ever gameplay, and more Resident Evil news. Apparently they are going to announce a new Resident Evil online Resident Evil game that nobody's heard of before. I think it's going to be Outbreak.
New online Resident Evil game.
Yes, because it is like their 20th anniversary or something like that.
They're coming to Dead by Daylight, calling in here. They're going to kill their shitty Dead by Daylight game and just come on over.
Maybe. You never know. It's apparently it's open for like beta testers and stuff if you want to kind of throw your hat in there. But I think we're getting the Resident Evil Village release date. I think it's going to be that and like some other fun stuff. I don't think really anything of note, big note other than that.
If you get a release date, it starts the clock for me getting my PS5. I've stopped looking. Ever since that first night and the frustration I had of seeing it in my checkout box, getting to checkout and saying it was gone,
yeah,
I haven't looked.
I won't lie, man. Once you do, and I don't mean this in like a braggy way or anything, but once you do, and once you turn on that PS5 and get all your shit over to that PS5, you are not going to look back.
Probably. I mean, I keep my old stuff, but I don't hold on to it. But yeah. And then a quick note for my Pokemon fans. The new trailer for Pokemon Snap was shown earlier today, and it looks adorable, but I'm probably going to have to get new Joy-Cons or I won't be able to play it. So got to get new Joy-Cons by April. And apparently we are going to be getting some Gen 5 remakes. Fingers crossed. We'll see if that happens. But, wow, that was a long opening, Justin. I didn't even look at the clock, but I know it's been a while.
Yeah, it's like 23 minutes or something like that.
All right, good. Dark Souls is evil. So, play some epic music, sir, and let's get into our review of The Host. So, The Host is a 2006 South Korean monster film directed by one of my new favorite directors, Bong Joon-ho. Justin, do you know what other more recent film Bong Joon-ho directed that I just would not shut up about
Parasite. A year ago? Yeah, Parasite. Everybody knows it's Parasite.
Parasite, exactly. All right, you already know. This film is about a monster that emerges from the Han River and terrorizes the local community. The film stars Song Kang-ho as Park Gang-do. I hope I said that right. Again, I am very American and it's embarrassing sometimes. The sometimes aloof father, who along with his siblings and his father, try to rescue the daughter from the monster. Song, as many know if you listened to me and watched Parasite, was the star of Parasite. In kind of a similar role. Did you see Parasite?
No, I have not.
Oh, Justin.
What? Don't fucking look at me like that.
No, it's, I'm not judging you. It's just I'm almost jealous because like I think you would like it. It's very good.
I don't know, man. I won't lie. Watching this has led me down a hole.
We'll discuss it.
What?
Oh, wait. I thought you were talking about your feelings about this movie. What?
Go ahead. No. I was just going to say watching this movie led me down a hole of looking up old Korean horror movies that I have seen before that I want to see again. Like Death Bell and Machine Girl. Two movies I haven't even
heard of those.
Oh, man. Fucking fantastic. Bedeviled? Oh, perfect. Kind of gross movie, but it is very good.
All right. So director Bong has said his inspiration for the film came from an article in the paper about a deformed fish pulled from the Han River. At the end of this film's theatrical run, it was the highest grossing South Korean film of all time. That's obviously since changed. And even enjoyed a short theatrical run in the United States, which was pretty impressive for 2006.
Yeah.
Shot on a budget of about $11 million, it would go on to gross over $89 million at the global box office. The creature effects were done piecemeal by several different production groups, and this is where the budget was mostly crunched. It was very tight, trying to what director Bong wanted to do. And I think we'll discuss this in the movie. It's probably where the movie suffers the most, only because of certain times. Again,
that makes sense. Yes, absolutely.
And then I took this directly from Wikipedia because obviously I'm American, you're Canadian. We really don't know a lot about like the political history, the political tensions or anything in South Korea. So I took this because I think it's important we kind of lay the groundwork for what this is, because in case you don't know, Bong Joon-ho is notorious for lacing political satire, political meanings through his films. And in Parasite, it's easy. It's class. But this one, I actually didn't know a whole lot about, so I wanted to include it because I think before we have a discussion on the film, I think we should establish where the director was coming from.
Okay.
So this right now, in case you don't know, this is your spoiler warning. It's going to be spoiler throughout from this moment forward. So we're good. Okay, make sure my mic is in front of my face. The film was in part inspired by an incident in 2000, in which a Korean mortician working for the U.S. military in Seoul reported that he was ordered to dump a large amount of formaldehyde down the drain. In addition to its environmental concerns, this caused some antagonism towards the U.S. The American military stationed in South Korea is portrayed as uncaring about the effects their activities have on locals. The chemical agent used by the American military to combat the monster in the end, named Agent Yellow, is a thinly veiled reference to Agent Orange, which was also used to satirical effect. The director, Bong Joon-ho, commented on the issue. It's a stretch to simplify the host as an anti-American film, but there is certainly a metaphor and political commentary about the United States. Because of its themes, which can be seen as critical of the United States, the film was lauded by North Korean authorities, a rarity for a South Korean blockbuster film. The film features a satirical portrayal of the South Korean government as bureaucratic, inept, and essentially uncaring. Korean youth protesters are featured satirically in the film in a mixed way, partially heroic and partially self-righteous and oblivious. According to Bong Joon-ho, the Park Nam-il character is a deliberate anachronism, a reference to South Korea's troubled political history, which involved violent protest. When you look in terms of this character, it's sort of like feeling of time going backwards. You could say that he is the image of the college protester back 10 years ago. It doesn't exist in our present day.
Yeah, I mean,
and I look forward to discussing that in the next segment. But first, you gave me a break last week, and I appreciate it. But it is time for my 60-second summary. Let me drink some water, and I'm good to go.
And again, I've learned to use my mixer a little better. If this does, hopefully this goes much better than it did last time. This is the only sound I actually had to put in afterwards. But I'm recording a little differently with multi-tracking, so hopefully this will work. So if you are ready, I will give you a 3-2-1.
Let's do it.
Okay, so 3-2-1, go.
So the film starts pretty much exactly how I mentioned. This mortician, American mortician, makes a Korean man dump all this old formaldehyde down the drain, and basically we come to find out that something starts growing in the Han River. We come to the father figure, who is talking to his daughter and his father, and basically the big sea monster comes out, attacks everybody, gets blood on people, and kidnaps the young girl. The father, his brother, his sister, and his dad get taken in by the South Korean military and get tested on because they think they're sick. Even though they're not sick, there's a really, really great scene where someone loogies into a puddle and a big splash comes to get everybody wet. And this whole idea behind sickness and transmissibility and all that fun stuff. But basically, the plot revolves around trying to save the young girl. They finally get to where she's trying to escape, but before they get to where she's already dead, they have Agent Orange sprayed on them where they're trying to kill the monster. And finally, the three siblings get together, kill the monster, and the little girl who had saved this little boy is hanging out with the dad, and they're sitting in the food truck, and they turn off the TV because the news is fake.
Yeah, I mean, you got it.
So that was very rough. This is an almost 2.5 hour movie, and it does not skim over anything.
No, it really goes into it, and I won't lie. This is the first movie of this director's that I've seen, because I haven't seen Parasite. I don't know.
Did you see Snowpiercer?
Oh, fuck. Did he do Snowpiercer? I love Snowpiercer.
Yeah, he did Snowpiercer.
I did not know that. Okay, then never mind. I have seen a movie he has done before. Okay. but kind of how this was laid out to me, or how I assumed it was laid out to me, was that this is a Korean horror film. This is a straight up Korean horror film.
Did I do that? I would not have told you that.
No.
Okay. I would not have told you that, so, because I know director Bong well enough.
So the thing is I don't really place blame on anybody, because, I mean, nobody really told me anything, but I didn't know who it was directed by or anything. I just remember Matt saying it. I don't think he had seen it, but he said, oh, it looks interesting or something like that. And I saw the cover and I was like, oh, cool. This is going to be a wicked horror movie, because I actually love a lot of Korean horror films. And it was not what I expected.
The movie, like I mentioned, it dives into everything. I think it does a great job as it dives into everything. But I think I personally, who have watched a couple more of Director Bong's films than you have, in particular, yep, Parasite, he has gotten a lot better at filling the space. And I don't mean that as in there's a lot of like unnecessary bullcrap, which we've seen in a lot of these older films, right?
Yeah.
What I mean is it keeps the audience engaged. There's a lot of segments in this movie where a lot of discussion is going on, and the father is talking about how Gang Do like didn't have enough protein as a kid, so he sleeps and he blames himself for it. Or when they're talking about the protesters who aren't doing anything, or the military, or whatever. There's a lot of extended dialogue segments.
Yes.
And sometimes those segments are very compelling. I think about when the American doctor is explaining to the Korean doctor, like, there actually is no virus. We can't find a virus, but we said there was a virus, so we got to find a virus. Like, that segment's really good. I also, like I said, I mentioned earlier, I like when he was just explaining how his son didn't have enough protein as a kid, so he blames himself for all his mistakes. There are segments like that which are wonderfully done. And then there are some segments that do a similar thing. I think about when Gang Doo's father is negotiating to get the supplies to go searching for the daughter. That doesn't work as well. Still fine. I mean, this is still a very well-directed movie, but it's not as good as some of the other ones. And I think there are more of those than the others. So this film feels long.
Oh, yeah. I will say, I will kind of piggyback off what you're saying. I mean, like you said, there is a lot of, I don't want to say downtime because that sounds bad, but
yeah,
there's a lot of like in-between space. Again, that sounds bad, but I don't mean it in a bad way.
Well, especially if you went into this thinking this was going to be a straight-up monster movie.
Oh, I thought this was going to be, like, the opening stuff, I was like, fuck yeah, I'm here for it. Fuck yes, let's do this.
Yeah, the first half an hour is, like, rocket pace. And then for, like, probably the next 90 minutes, it really slows.
And that's kind of what got me. I mean, I will give it that it was my own expectations going into this movie. But there is a point where, I mean, you see the cover and you're like, oh, there's like some fucking Kraken thing going on or something. This is going to be awesome. But yeah, basically after the daughter gets taken away, by the monster, it really, it slows down isn't even the right word. It just kind of, the pace drops.
It changes.
Yes, absolutely.
It goes from a monster movie feel to a political satire.
Yeah, and like you said, some of that stuff really works. Like, one of my favorite scenes was the American doctor telling the Korean doctor that there was no virus. And I mean, it kind of like obviously fuels the stupid people in America and Canada and all over the world right now that think there is no virus still and yeah. They're an idiot. But then you get the other scenes where he is behind the plastic talking to the policeman and he's like, for some reason, it doesn't hit in the same way. And it definitely drags the movie down a little bit.
And that was the reason why I wanted to read that political background to the film, because some of it for me, I understood. I have friends from my time at West Point who were stationed in South Korea, and like, we are on good terms with them, but there is this sentiment that the military overall doesn't care. Like, they're an occupying force, which, I mean, let's be honest, they are. And, I mean, they are providing security, right? Like, I mean, North Korea is an actual threat to South Korea. Like, they've stated that they want them gone. So it's not like it's a non-existent thing. However, there is this sentiment that they don't care. And the fact that the story came out about how the American military, like, it instructed them to dump all these chemicals down the Han River, which people we saw, like, literally need to survive. Like, they live off of not just, like, the food that comes out of the river, but, like, the activities surrounding the river.
Yeah.
And so some of that stuff for me was obvious. Some of the other stuff, which I guess I wasn't aware of some of the South Korean history of, like, protesters who don't protest for real. You know what I mean? Like, who are more about show, which is something that a lot of people in America, I can talk about too, is like a lot of people will change their Instagram photo to a black picture in order to like support Black Lives Matter. But like, they won't go out and protest. They won't donate to causes to help. They're just more showy. Kind of,
the thing about that too is like, if you ever have to ask yourself the question, when is it okay to change my picture back? Then you are not doing it for the cause. You're doing it to kind of be a part of something.
Exactly. And that was something that I really found interesting. That's what I'm saying. This movie is good. Like, this is definitely one of the better plots we have. However, it is flawed because even though I like it, there were times where I look at my watch and see how much time I had left. You know what I mean?
Yep, because I did that twice.
I don't mean that in a negative way. There are some movies we have watched in the past, like some of the crappier Friday the 13th movies or some of the Resident Evil movies even at times, where it's like, okay, how much more I have to watch? It wasn't ever that. It was more like, okay, there's 30 minutes left. When is this going to start picking up?
Yeah.
So I want to get that out first, is that the political stuff is done very well. I think if you understand where Bong Joon-ho was coming from when he put together the movie, it makes even more sense. But he has done better now. Again, I say Parasite. And even Snowpiercer. You've seen Snowpiercer.
I fucking love Snowpiercer.
There's a ton of political commentary in Snowpiercer. But it's done a lot better.
Well, and I think, again, it kind of revolves around the pacing of the movie. Because Snowpiercer is like, as soon as it gets going, it doesn't stop. Where, just kind of like a train. Get it?
I really think you should watch in Parasite. There is literally, like, the movie feels like a comedy until one scene, and then it turns into this like dark thriller.
So that was immediate,
and it's so good. Oh my gosh, I still get I love. Oh my god.
So kind of one of my bigger issues about this movie plot wise is that sometimes it almost feels like things are put in there as comedic relief. There's just like with Park is kind of a bumbling.
See, that is something I'm probably going to disagree with you on, because I feel that's actually my next point, is that I think this movie does a very, very good job at making you laugh and having scenes where you're like, oh my gosh, it's ridiculous, and having them almost like literally back to back with scenes where you're like, what the fuck just happened? Like, again, I already said spoilers, like when Gongdu's dad dies. Brutally.
Yeah.
When he gets a lobotomy.
Like, that was, and they show it. That was amazing.
And, like, Or like this, there's these scenes of, or like the funny scene, like when the girl's like running up the monster's back to try to get out. There's just these sequences that are like super scary. When the girl dies, or they're getting the Agent Orange sprayed on them and they're vomiting blood, but there's still something that's this epic, like the fire and the crossbow and the stake, like all these epic sequences, but they're paired with darkness, and I love that. I love like the happy, you're laughing, and all of a sudden, like, oh shit, they just killed the little girl. Oh my god.
Yeah, for me, like some of that stuff definitely does work, but I don't know. There were some almost comedic. I don't even know if they were. I kind of come back to the when he is behind the drape talking to the police officer, and yeah. He is very comedically trying to show him what happened.
Yes.
For me, I mean, it could be just because of that scene altogether, but things like that, it started to drag a little bit on. I was like, okay, they kind of already talked about this. Like, why are they trying to make it a comedy scene now? Like, it started off as a drama scene, and then it kind of turned into, like, awkward comedy, and then it didn't go anywhere by the
end. And again, I do think it is more of a sign of a director kind of coming into his own. Because, like I mentioned, I'm going to be doing it a lot because I talked about it last year. Like, Parasite does this kind of stuff, but you can just tell, like, especially watching this and, like, knowing what I know of Parasite. I watched them, like, 7 times. Like, I bought the Blu-ray and just, like, would just keep watching it. Like, it was, you could just see that he came into his own. So, even though this is good, I know he's capable of better because I've seen it. Do you know what I mean? I wonder if I hadn't seen Parasite, how I'd feel about it. Like, I think I would still like it because I like the political commentary stuff. But I wonder if I would actually have given it a higher score. But I think my score is kind of lower just because I know director Bong is capable of more.
I won't lie. Mine is lower because I thought I did not... I didn't get what I expected, I will say that. But that's kind of my own expectation.
Well, for plot, I gave it an 8.
I gave it a 7.
All right. Cinematography. I watched this on Amazon Prime Video, and I have my quarantine purchase, my big 4K 80-inch QLED monstrosity in my living room.
Yeah.
It didn't look good. Did it look kind of like rough to you? For a 2006 film, it looked like it was older than that. Do you know what I mean?
I will give you, like, the CGI on the monster didn't look great.
No, not the CGI. I'm talking about the actual quality of, like, the film.
I didn't really notice it. Okay. That being said, I didn't watch it on my 4K TV. I watched it on the TV in my room, which is, like, some shitty little TV. But
so that'd be why, too, because, again, watching on Amazon Prime, it just looked a little rougher, and I was kind of surprised by that. I'm not going to take any points off because I think it's just, like, again, a 2006 film that hasn't been up-rendered at all onto the 4K, and I actually blame Amazon Prime for that. But I did want to mention that to see if you had a similar issue, and it makes more sense that it was probably got...
I don't even Prime know if thing. This ever got, like, a Blu-ray release into 4K. Mm-hmm. So it might not even be Amazon Prime's fault. It might just be the fact that they never...
Like, watching a VHS on a 1080p screen, like, you're not going to get what you're looking for.
Oh, God, no.
So that being said, I think the film is shot beautifully. I mean,
even though it looks like crap.
Well, what I meant is, like,
I know, the
edits and, like, the way some scenes are shot, in particular, the one is when the father dies. Like, oh my gosh, that is just shot. Like, when he, like, sits there and counts, you know, and I don't know, it was just so, so well done. And I also really appreciate how they hid the monster in certain times because we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. There was some roughness around that. And I don't know. There were just certain scenes, again, where I get to see a director coming into his own and working on his craft and building up to something great. And I think that this is a really, really well done movie. And looking back, other films from 2006, the closest one we have is Resident Evil Extinction, which came out the year after. That's Alice in the Desert.
Okay, yeah.
And I think if you compare, like, again, both horror movies, you know, of a more monsterish quality, this is definitely a more artistic approach as opposed to Resident Evil.
I would agree. It definitely is more artistic, and a lot of it does feel very well shot.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's all very, it's very tightly edited, which is nice.
But, so much appreciated.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Especially considering some of these. I was a little weirded out when the little boy was talking about his food and it like kept like kind of cutting, quick cutting.
I thought that was funny, but yeah, I get it.
Well, yeah, that didn't work for me. but the other biggest problem for me was, I mean, obviously we'll get into the monster, but I really thought that this was going to be like, I was expecting more
monster movie.
Monster movie, yes. And that's, I mean, that's not what I got. This was like a political thriller, really. And yes. I didn't get the monster movie I came in looking for. And I think
you
cannot
blame me for that one, because I did not tell you that.
I do not blame you for that at all. I just that kind of lies on me, because I saw the cover and was like, oh yeah, awesome. Oh, the cover looks awesome. Oh, it's a horror movie. Awesome. Okay. And even Matt saying, I don't know if I've seen this one, but it looks interesting. It's like, oh fuck yeah, okay, let's do this. And I got a political drama.
Yes, you did.
But
political. I would say a political comedic thriller is how I would personally categorize this film, which might give a little credence to how scary.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, so I can see where you're coming from. Like, for me, knowing what director Bong does, I was ready for this. And again, similar to plot, it was good, but I know what he's capable of. So, like, I know this is not his best work. So, I know there's more. So, if I know what a 10 is, I'm grading it on that scale. But.
Here we go.
The monster.
Oh, God, that monster.
There are times the monster looks really good. The scene in particular is when she runs up the back to try to grab the rope to climb out.
Yeah.
Like, that sequence, from the start to the end, was awesome. Like on the edge of your seat, like, is she going to make it when she grabs him and runs up the back? Like, and they did things with the camera to hide the monster at times, because we're going to get into, we'll just do it now. The monster, when we see it in full focus, whether it is a product of the times or the budget, and based on what I read online, it does seem to be more of a budgetary issue, it suffered. And it was very clear that was the part. Like I said, there was like four different production companies who did it. And basically at the very end, Director Bong used the rest of his budget to bring in the crew that worked on The Day After Tomorrow to try to polish it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So again, like it's hard, because reading online, like, they were trying to fix it. But there are just times where it's not good, and it really makes it hard. I think the practical effects are all done, like the gore, like when the dad's head is smashed, like when they're in that trailer and they're trying to get out, or when they're inside and he pulls them out, and the Agent Orange stuff and the blood. All that stuff is fantastic. However, when the monster's by itself, it really does not look good.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that kind of the opening chase scene, if that's what you'll call it, with the monster does look good, but that also kind of sets this precedent that, okay, it's always going to look this good. But then, like you said, when we get the monster on its own, it does not, when it has like these quick scenes of it dropping down into the water or it swinging around, I think that's when it looks its worst. I think it actually looks, and this is kind of weird for me, but I think it actually looks a lot better when it is in scenes with people. When it's by itself, it just, I don't know, there's something about it, it just looks off, which is weird to say for a monster, but it does look decent when it's with people, but when it's by itself, it suffers. It really does.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what that is, but no, I do agree with you. And like I said, that's kind of where I'm coming at it. And so I gave it a 7.5.
I gave it a 6.5. Mostly, again, I had expectations of a awesome monster movie when I came into it, and that really did affect
me. Don't blame me.
I don't.
even though I hadn't seen it up until this week when we watched it, I know Director Bong. Audio. So we've discussed in the past how foreign films are sometimes hard to judge acting quality because you're reading, you're watching facial expressions, but there is something about these movies. I saw it first in Parasite and then now in this, where I really feel like whether it's the script that Bong writes or whatever it is, he does a very good job at like letting you read really fast, but then go back up and watch the characters. Like I found myself like as opposed to other films, foreign films, where I'm watching the words. Like, I know this review got destroyed because of our executive producer's crappy audio version and Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. but, like, I felt in that one, there are sequences we get to watch the acting, but when they're actually, like, talking to each other, a lot of times we aren't able to watch the acting. There is just something about these movies, and I felt the exact same way in Parasite, where I am able to focus on both the subtitles and the dramatic acting, and I am once again blown away. I thought the acting in this movie across the board, I did not think there was one bad performance. I thought it was all wonderful. I loved it. I hands down loved it. So that's where I'm at with acting. What do you have?
So I would agree with you on the acting. I think the acting is very well, even for a foreign film. What you mentioned is harder to judge just because, like you said, normally you're reading. But like you said, there's something about it that I don't know if it's because, I mean, there's a lot of, it's not like there's not a lot of talking. There is a lot of talking, but they kind of parse it out in a way that it gives you time to read it. And then you can look up and see how they are reacting to a scene. And yeah. I think it is in part due to the actors. Specifically the guy who plays Park.
Song Doo-ho. I mean, I'm so bad with names just in general, and so this is even worse. Song Kang-ho.
Yeah, I think he, even though I didn't enjoy the comedic scenes, I don't think...
Parasite. Oh my God, if you thought he was good in this, you gotta watch Parasite. Oh my Lord.
I actually loved him in this. I think he is my favorite actor.
He's such a great actor.
Yeah, absolutely, hands down. And I think it is in part to the actors that you kind of get that sense that, yeah, this is really good acting.
Yeah, because again, going back to the scene where they're sitting in the food shed and the father is talking about how he didn't give his kids enough protein and so he drifts off to sleep. Like, that scene is funny, but it's heavy, and like the actors are all doing their own different things, and like, I don't know, it is just so well done. And I know we talk about kid acting sometimes being not very good, listen to last week, but in this one the child performances are again just fantastic. And I don't know, it's obviously the reason why people love working with Bong Joon-ho is because he's able to get these kind of performances out of actors.
Yeah.
But that being said,
quickly, I will say, there is two people that I didn't particularly enjoy. It is the little boy. I think the daughter did fantastic. I think she did a fantastic job. The little boy seemed a little too directed, if that makes any sense. It seemed a little forced.
Okay.
I said two, but I think I really only meant one because I was trying to think of the second person. I didn't even have it written down. I was just, but yes, it mostly the little boy was just a little forced, and I think it is partly due to that scene that I was talking about where it kind of cut, it's quickly cutting between him saying food. It just came off a little weird, and I don't know. That's just how I feel about it.
And that kind of ties me into my biggest con, which is, it's not even a con, but we talk about it, the score. Very forgettable.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially opposed to Parasite, which again, you haven't seen, but like the score in that is just fantastic. This one is very, very, very forgettable.
Oh yeah, like I mean, I played that 60 seconds part underneath you, and when I was looking for something to put in that 60 seconds, I was like, I don't remember this from the movie. So, but
the acting is incredible. Again, if you like the performance from Song Kang-ho, Justin, watch Parasite. Like, I'm telling you, dude, you will not feel as if you wasted 2 hours. You will be very happy. I promise you.
After I beat Death's Stranding, I will.
Okay. Okay. Fair. But yeah, so I guess with that being said, I gave it an 8.5, which I think, again, is a testament to how just amazing the acting is.
I gave it an 8. I agree with you for the most part anyway. So.
How scary. Okay.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I said earlier that I would describe this film personally as a South Korean monster political comedic thriller.
Yes.
Notice I had never said anything about horror or scary or anything. That is because, like Justin mentioned earlier, this isn't that movie.
No, I mean, it really, really isn't. Anyway, so, sorry. Well, stop it.
That's not to say it did not have some scary parts. I think the first sequence when the monster is running rampage and you see the people trying to get out that door, like that, I was at that moment, I was like, man, this might be a lot darker than I'm ready for. And then again, some characters die brutally, like Gangdu's father, Gangdu's daughter. Like, there are some very, very brutal sequences. And one scene, which I think has even more scariness due to COVID, is when they're all standing at the bus stop. The guy is coughing, hops a loogie into the puddle, and the bus comes by and splashes the puddle all over the people standing there.
Yep.
Again, another scene where I think he blends, like, especially now, horror with comedy pretty well. I did not find this movie that scary. I just have to be honest. This is definitely the section where it's the hardest. Again, personally, I don't even know if I was like compiling a list, I would personally categorize this as a necessarily a horror film. Like we talked about before, horror is subjective. It's in your eyes. But for me personally, even though there are some jumps, this feels more like a Last of Us situation as opposed to like a Resident Evil situation. If that makes sense.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I thought Last of Us was scary. So,
I know.
But no, I mean, I mostly agree. There's some scary, not even scary, but like, oh shit, moments in this movie, like you mentioned, with kind of basically the whole opening rampage. I was like, that kind of got me ready to like, okay, this is what I think it is. This is going to be a wicked horror monster movie. And then it turned out not to be, obviously. It's very political heavy, very monster light in a way. We only ever really see the monster. Obviously, he is like this imposing force.
Mm-hmm.
But he's never really, he's the only time we really ever see a lot of him is he's just like dropping bodies down.
Yeah. And like I said, there are, I do think that segment where the little girl is trying to rub his back and escape, I do think that that is, outside the opening sequence, maybe the scariest. But even then, it goes back to what I said during the Last of Us stuff. It's more tense instead of like horrified.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is I think there's a lot of, there's tension here, but even then it's not like, I don't want to say real tension because that sounds bad, but like it's not like scared tension. It's just like,
yeah,
oh shit, what's gonna happen next kind of thing. It's not like, oh no, I it's really hard to describe, but yeah, I mean, it's very subjective, like you mentioned. Horror is very
subjective. Like the Boulay brothers say in Dragula, art is subjective, we are not here to criticize the art. Horror is subjective. We are not here to say what is horror, what is not. We are just describing how scary it is to us. And yes. So with that being said, I gave it a 3.
I also gave it a 3. Again, it was mainly due to I went into this expecting a monster movie, and that is not what I got. So
to review the scores, for plot, I gave it an 8. Justin gave it a 7. For cinematography, I gave it a 7.5. Justin gave it a 6.5. For audio, I gave it an 8.5. Justin gave it an 8. And for How Scary, both gave it 3s. That gives it a Here's Johnny final score of a 64. That slots it. Well, that is actually kind of funny. Okay. It slots it right below Godzilla, the original, obviously the only review, which also has a 64. Again, alphabetical. And it comes right above Silent Hill 3, but the movie right below it is Them, which also has a 64.
Interesting. I think
but I said it was interesting because A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night is also at a 64. One of our lost episodes. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, this is a great movie. I want to say thank you once again to our patron Matt, not only our patron but now our executive producer of the show and his work on the podcast.
And I mean, he's still doing wonders. Like,
yeah, he does a lot of stuff. He's a driven man. But no, I'm excited I got to review a film from director Bong on this podcast, because I would not show up about Parasite for like 2 months, you know, before in the pre-COVID days.
Back in the before times.
But yeah, with that being said, Justin, why don't you go ahead and play as a commercial from one of the member podcasts on Kaleidoscope Media Network, and let's head on in to the closing.
Ghosts, split souls, monsters, sociopathic villains, cold-blooded murders, and nightmares becoming reality. Does this sound like horror to you? Actually, these are all things that can be found in the Harry Potter series. It can be scarier than you might think. I'm Katie.
And I'm Audrey.
And on our podcast, Wizard Studies, we talk about all these parts of the wizarding world and even some more lighthearted stuff.
We can be found anywhere you listen to your podcasts and on Instagram and Facebook as Wizard Studies Podcast and Twitter as Wizard Studies.
Now back to your regularly scheduled horror talk on Here's Johnny.
All right. Thank you, ladies of the Wizard Studies podcast. Justin, next week on the show, like you kind of mentioned, we've talked about it a little bit, but now is the time to kind of go into a little more detail.
Yeah.
Justin and I talked about forcing each of us to include more of like a conversational episode.
Yeah.
Justin went very bold and he has developed a quiz show. I will be one of the participants, and we are going to be joined by the Scream Queens themselves, Rachel and Mars of Zombie Girls.
Yeah, it's kind of evolved a lot and changed a lot. I'm not going to lie. At one point in time, it was... remember how I was asking about escape rooms? I was pricing out escape rooms for us to do, like, live on the... show, obviously. But obviously that didn't work out because you said you didn't enjoy them, so I was like, oh, okay,
I hate I'll them because I get focused on things, and then the next thing I know I'm tearing up cushions when there's nothing to do with the cushion.
Well, hey man, it would have all been through like Skype and stuff, so it would have been awesome, but that's okay, next time. And then it kind of like evolved into other stuff that I found it wouldn't work, and then I got too into the idea, and it kind of exploded out into this giant, huge thing that I didn't really tell anybody about. There was like, it was fucking insane. Basically, I scaled it down a lot because I have to manage myself, and I have to realize at some point in time that I am human, and I can't kill myself over these things. I am pretty stressed about it, not gonna lie, but I think it'll be a fun time because... like you said, we are doing it with Rachel and Mars, and they are, I mean, they're always a blast to have around.
Yeah, and I know instead of last time where it was cooperative, this time it is competitive.
Yes.
And I just hope Rachel and Mars are ready to lose tomorrow night, because Justin knows I'm a sweaty boy.
Yeah, I mean, just watch the Dark Souls stream. It's right there for you. Before we do go, though, I just kind of want to make a quick mention. So today, as of recording, our friends over at the Forever Classic Games just released a new episode of their podcast. You should all go listen to it. It is kind of a recap of their 2020 and what they're looking forward to in 2021. I know some of them have gone through some difficult times, but they are on the up and up. And I don't know. I haven't
gotten to it yet. Today at work was no cap.
Oh, I mean, usually we talk a lot even during the day at work. And I mean, I think we said maybe three things to each other today. So I get it.
Work's been busy.
But you know, I just want to say, like, go check them out. You should just go give them a listen because I mean, I like those guys.
Alex is a great guy. He made a fantastic commercial for us. Maybe we could even have we shared that on the show yet?
I don't know. But I told him, like, hey, man, you send us a commercial and I will gladly slot it in because, like,
We aren't very creative. Ask Matt.
Yeah, exactly.
But maybe next week we can put their commercial for ourselves on here and just kind of show what Alex has made for us. I think it'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's
amazing.
I mean, it's better.
He's so creative. Like, he's so much more creative.
100 times
us.
Better than the ones we made.
So that is next week. After that, it will be Dark Souls and,
oh, fuck yeah.
But yeah, that's all I have for this week. Justin, anything else?
Go enjoy Dark Souls. I'm not saying that just to like spite you or anything, but like weirdly enough, it's clicking with me, and I don't know. I'm excited. Look forward to the streams that we have coming up. Like you said, you're going to be doing Dark Souls. I think I'm going to start with. I'm not going to make anybody watch me platinum Persona 5 because. Oh boy, that would be a thing because it's basically me just fast forwarding through all the text because I've already played it before. But I think I'm going to do Nier Automata, which is a fun game to watch personally.
I've never played it before.
You should. It is a really fun game, and especially with them like re-releasing the original Nier Replicant, I think the version that we did not get here over in the West that they got in Japan for the PS3. I'm excited, and it's kind of got me hyped for it. So I decided I'd go back and platinum Nier. And if you miss any of the trophies, you can buy them in a store after for, like, in-game money.
Really?
Yeah, you can just, like, grind out enemies until you get, like, $1,000, like, or 1,000 Zenny or whatever it is, and there's this one guy who will, like, sell you the trophies.
That's amazing. That would be really nice in Final Fantasy X, so I didn't have to do Blitzball. But,
yep.
guys, we really appreciate you checking us out, and until next time, stay scary. The Here's Johnny podcast is brought to you by Larry and Justin. You can find the show on Twitter at Here's Johnny Cast, and you can find Larry at BeaverLA.
You can find Justin at PickleThing, and you can email the show at Here's Johnny Podcast@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Here's Johnny Podcast.
As always, in the show notes, you can find links to the Discord and to the website. We are also on Instagram at Here's Johnny_podcast.
Also in the show notes, we'll have a link to the Twitch and YouTube channels. And if you would like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/Here's Johnny Podcast. Every cent goes into the show. And yeah, we just really use it to make the show better. Again, I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. You guys help make this possible.
But yeah, Patreon is the way we support the show. We aren't looking to get rich. And like Justin said, every dollar, every cent, it all goes back in. There's some pretty cool tiers, so head on and look at that.
But until next week, see you guys later.